Welcome to the weekly podcast from City Light Church in Lethbridge. For more teaching or to find out more about life at CLC, please visit our website at citylightchurch.ca.
This morning, Pastor Doug is initiating a series of messages called Revival. And we're believing God that this church will lead in a major revival in the city of Lethbridge. Yes? Yes. This church started in days of revival. It was actually birthed at the end or the tail end of what was known as the Jesus people or charismatic revival. That's when when this church was birthed. We were here in the early days of this church. And it was in a time when hundreds and thousands of young people in Alberta came to Jesus Christ, got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and oftentimes on weekends there would be 25 to 50 people getting saved, baptized, and filled with the Holy Ghost all in one dose. Like they came to the service, they got saved, they got dipped in the water, and they came out of the trough speaking in tongues. And it was a major revival that was right across North America. It started about 1967, and it ended in about 1982. I remember the time when I was praying, about 1982, and the Holy Spirit said, "It's over." That period of revival had come to an end. By the way, in the study of revivals, the history of revivals, which I don't have time to go through, most of them, revivals were started and worked within about a 30 to a 50-year period. And in fact, you can look up the word awakening. We'll talk about awakening. We'll talk about arise. And we'll talk about the major words about revival this morning. But I believe in God that this church right here, City Light Church, will lead another major movement of the Holy Spirit in this city, and God will send revival again to Canada. That's why we're traveling from city to city. We're going to go to Ottawa 1 week from Tuesday. We're going to sit there in the prayer house. We're going to initiate and plan, and we're going to initiate a plan to go from legislature to legislature, because the scripture says, if everybody said if my people will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then. God has always had an if and a then. So the condition for revival in this city is not based upon God. It's based upon you. If you do these things, seek my face, turn away from your wicked ways, and do all of those things, then God says, if you will do this, then I will hear from heaven and I'll heal your land. Now, how many of you know that Alberta needs some change? How many of you know that we've been on a decline for the last about 30 years, a real spiritual decline in the nation of Canada? In fact, about 50 years ago in the province of Quebec, they would tell us that well over 50% of people went to church every Sunday. And now it's like 3 or 4 or 5%. And we're facing spiritual battles. We're also facing legal battles that relate to Christian educations and the right of parents and all of those things. And we're in a time of radical negative change that can be reversed when people pray. But the condition is on us. If, everybody said if, and then. See, if you'll obey my word, then you'll be my disciples indeed. You can go all through the scripture and find the if verses and the then verses, and the then is tied to the if. So it's based upon what we do, and God waits to see what you will do so he can do what he says he can do. Are you with me? So this morning I'm just initiating the first message on revival because we believe. Let me just ask you a question. Is it possible that 2018, 2019, 2020 could be another period of time where God initiates another revival in the nation of Canada, that something happens in Canada that becomes worldwide? If my people... So I believe, personally believe, I'm here this morning, I believe that God has ordained your pastor to be a leader in this city. Somebody shout hallelujah. How many of you believe that this church that started in revival should start another one again? Do you believe that? Are you committed to it? And so I want to give you some words this morning and just kind of stir your spirit. And then I want you to say this with me before we end. Revival begins with me. Say it with me. Revival begins with me. Now, the three words with the A, I'll give you the A's and then I'll give you the R's. First of all, it begins. It's oftentimes revival is referred to as an awakening, because people have gone to sleep. Yesterday, I'm taking my wife over to the RV dealership. I'm trying to trade my trailer to a better one so that she'll be more comfortable. How many of you ladies think that might be a nice idea? And of course, a few days before, I'd gone over there and I was talking to the manager, Jeff, and his right-hand man, Peter, and one of our leaders from our church is a Filipino and works in the service department there. And so he arranges that I will get right up to top management. And so, you know, they take me and show me a few of these RV used. I don't want a brand new one, can't afford it, but a good RV used. And so I'm saying, well, I you know, yesterday in the restaurant, we don't leave the restaurant without talking about Jesus. Come on, somebody. I mean, I'm going to talk to this guy about Jesus as we're having supper last night. Right? And we got into some pretty good conversation, didn't we, Pastor Doug? And so I said to him, are you a believer? Do you go to church? I tell him I'm pastor, the founding pastor of that church over there, you know, as you go down towards, around the city. And I'm saying, do you go to church? And he says to me, I was raised a Pentecostal. I said, you go to church? I don't go to church. He said, my parents were pastors, but I don't go to church. I said, where do you live? And so he begins to talk about his spirit. He needs to be awakened. And I talked to his associate, Peter, and of course, he needs to be an awakened person. And you can go from place to place and wherever you go, and you ask people, do you go to church? Are you a Christian? They will all say they're believers. They have a foundation of belief in their life, whether they're a Catholic or a Protestant. 40, 50, 60% of this city would say, I'm a believer. Come on. But they've gone to sleep. And they need to be awakened. And the problem is, and the picture of revival, as I see it, I was thinking about it this morning, is found in Exodus chapter 37, where the prophet began to speak to the valley of dry bones. And you know the end result was the valley of dry bones stood up to be the army. But they were dry. It says they were very dry. They were disconnected. They had become disconnected from the body of Christ. And there they were out there dry and very dead. But the scripture says, and the word of the Lord to this church is prophesy to this city and say, come alive in Jesus' name. And suddenly there was a clickety, clickety, click. And one bone came to another bone. And this thing stood up. It got the sinews. It got the commitment back. And it became the army of the Lord. Let me tell you, there is to be an army of the Lord Jesus Christ in Lethbridge, Alberta. Come on, amen. And it's dead, it's dry, it's disconnected, and we have the word of the Lord. Everybody said, awake. Arise. Well, let's move on to the next. Oh, then the other one is alive. Of course, alive. People have gone spiritually dead or dormant. Then there are other words, and these words, we'll put them up on the screen for you as well. These are the words They're the words restoration. Say with me, restoration, reactivation, refreshing, renewing, rededication. How many of you know a lot of people just need to rededicate their life? Some of you this morning, you just have to come back to God and say, God, I'm giving it back to you the way it was a few years ago when I really served you but kind of wandered away and just got cool. Not cool the right way, cool, cold the wrong way. Come on, amen. The reactivation. And I'm so glad you're here in church this morning to reactivate your faith and restore your life and reconnect. Because the life is in the body. When you get disconnected from the body, you begin to get disoriented, discouraged, and dry. And after a while, you're out there, lying out there in the wilderness like the valley of dry bones. Look at these words. I'll just read them. Don't have time to preach them. Restoration. In fact, let me just read them right there. Say it with me. Restoration, reactivation, refreshing, renewing, rededication, realignment, releasing, recharging, reconnection, revitalization, responsiveness, recharging, releasing, recovering, rebirth, and revival. Somebody shout hallelujah and say revival is coming to Lethbridge. If you will do what God says, you can do. It was Charles Finney, the leader of a great revival several hundred years ago, that he said these things. And let's just look at some of the things that Charles Finney said. And by the way, going back to this whole idea of revival, when you think about revival, you find the history of revivals also in the Old Testament where people came back to God. Remember the story? David is the man after God's heart. Solomon, in his old age, builds shrines that lead the people to debauchery and the next generations into idolatry. The wise man that wrote the book of Proverbs, at the end of his life, backslid, married some strange women, brought them into his life, compromised his life, and left a negative legacy for the generations that were to come. Come on, listen to me. But then there were people like Hezekiah that brought God back into the nation. Come on, amen. Then it was Josiah that came back and opened the doors of the house, got the book, read it to the people, restored it, broke down the idols of worship, and cut down the groves and established God as the head of the nation again. Somebody said amen. How many of you know Canada can be recovered again? I know we become secular. I know we become postmodern. But I happen to believe there's a God. Somebody shout hallelujah. That when the church is awakened and arises, Canada can be restored into a relationship back with God again. Come on, amen. And we can have 50, 60, 70% of people serving God in Canada again. Somebody shout hallelujah. Are you ready for this? I am just opening the door for Pastor Doug because he's going to come out of here like Oral Roberts used to come out on the platform with the Word of God next Sunday. Pray for your pastor, by the way. Revival. What are some of the components or elements of revival? Number one, prayer. Let me ask you a question. Are you willing and ready to restore your prayer life? Sometimes it's just a matter of discipline. I know how it works for me. Sometimes I get up in the morning, I'd simply say, hey, it's 7 o'clock, and I put my clock there. I lay it on the couch or put it down. I go downstairs. Usually downstairs, I have a kind of a secret little quiet place down there, and I just put my clock there and just say, I'm going to pray an hour. I'm going to get down here. I'm going to put my face in the ground. I'm going to put my nose in the carpet. I'm just going to talk to God for 1 hour. That happens to be biblical. It's called in the New Testament the hour of prayer. They met for the hour of prayer. Acts chapter 3. What did Jesus say? Couldn't you sleepy disciples, couldn't you pray 1 hour? You say, well, 15 minutes. Well, start with 15, but, you know, just see if you can't. It's amazing. I have found out that every time I set aside a special time of prayer and relationship with God, amen, I hear his voice and he directs my steps. Somebody shout hallelujah. And you seek him. Bible says, seek him with all your heart. Set your face towards him. Call upon his name. Come on, use the word, help, Lord. Some of you just need to shout that one real loud. Let's do it together. Help, Lord. And restore prayer, which is a relationship with God, a conversation. By the way, prayer is not a one-way conversation. It's a two-way, because when you talk to God, he will impress you through scriptures and words and prophetic words. I have a practice, and this is a practice I have in my life. Every time I go on a vacation, and I take as many as I can. Pastor Doug will tell you, you'll find me all over the world. And we take my family on a vacation a couple weeks ago. But the vacation isn't good enough. At the end of my vacation, I ask God to give me a word, and I call my personal prophecies or words from the Lord, and I read them to Heather, and he tells me about my life, my future, and I have prophecies that go back, just personal words that God gave me from vacations or from cruises. Hallelujah. How you know God can speak on a cruise? Amen. On vacations and different, but you just don't take a vacation. Because God has a program to speak to you when you're at rest. Why do you need the day of rest every week? So God can speak to you about your work. It's not about, We have everything is twisted and messed up in the way people think. They work so they can rest, so they can have the weekend. But God's program is you rest so you can get work. Come on. You get direction for your work, because in your rest, in your quiet times and relationship times and day offs and times where you set aside and you go out to the wilderness and you have a 2 or 3 days out there and you seek the Lord, and out there you come back with a word from the living God. Somebody shout hallelujah. Everybody said prayer. But the second thing is the word repentance. And we haven't heard about that very much. How much time have I got left? 7 minutes? 10 minutes? Give me the signal. I got 11. Oh, hallelujah, I got 11. Repentance. And, you know, repentance is not just a one-time event where you came to Christ. It's an ongoing process of telling God, I'm sorry. And it has to do with continually. Repentance is an about change, and it's a mental change. You don't have to cry to repent. Some people think, I remember I was counseling somebody, he doesn't cry, he hasn't repented. No. Just change your mind. Come on. That's what the word repentance means. I was going this way, I'm changing my mind. I'm not doing that no more. Not smoking dope no more. I've changed my mind. I'm not going to the bar, no. Change my mind. I'm going to change my friendship. Change my mind. And repentance has to a change of mind for a change of life. Come on, somebody. And some of us have to we've gotten into ways and doing things that 10 years ago would have violated your conscience. I was talking to one of the guys in our church, just pulling this one out. This is kind of an interesting one. And I said to one of the guys, and this is not a common practice of home church. 3 or 4 guys get together, and they go out and they smoke cigars and drink, they smoke cigar, go golfing, smoke cigars and drink beer. And I said to the young guy, I said, what's this business about going out smoking cigars and drinking beer? And he says, it's a man thing. My answer was, it's a sin thing. because 10 years ago, you would not do that. You violated your conscience and you seared your conscience, and now you think it's acceptable and okay, and you've covered it up with this a man thing. Some of the stuff that we got cleaned out of, we just need to go back to. Somebody shout hallelujah. And what we need to do is just repent. Repentance. And the key, there's two words. There's personal repentance, but there's also what the Bible calls, or what we call, identificational repentance, which Daniel said, our fathers have sinned. Daniel chapter 9. Nehemiah, when he's up in the king's court with the king, he's praying to God and he says, our fathers have sinned. Which means the generational sins of the past can be broken in Jesus' name through the power of repentance. Come on, somebody say amen. And sometimes we just have to go to City Hall and stand there and say, our leaders have sinned. Our city has sinned. This is where we've gone. But Jesus, come on, we identify on their behalf. They don't have the ability to repent right now, but we'll repent on behalf of them and ask the Holy Spirit to begin to bring a change. That's what we will do when we go to Parliament. That's what we'll do when we go to Edmonton. Identificational repentance. Third word. Got to find my notes. Let's put the third. Obedience. What did Charles Finney say? It says like 11:25, 11 minutes and 25. The clock is giving me more time all along. Huh? It's, oh, okay. Thank you so much. How am I doing, Heather? 7 minutes? Seven. Give me five more. No, I'm just... Here's what Charles Finney said. Revival is a renewed conviction of sin and repentance followed by an intense desire in obedience to God. It is giving up one's will to God in deep humility. When the church finds its members falling into gross and scandalous sins, then it is time for the church to awake and cry to God for a revival of religion. A revival is nothing else than a new beginning of obedience to God. Somebody said amen. And here, I think I preached it here. The problem with most Christians is they have what I call selective obedience. Hello? They say, well, Pastor, I sure liked the message, but I didn't like the offering message. Selective obedience. I like what you said, but it's pick and choose obedience. I'll take this, but I'll leave that. Because it's obedience sometimes is uncomfortable. Hello? Sometimes you got to give your comfort up to obey God and do what he says. Now let me tell you, he will give you the fullness and the abundance of life. Somebody shout amen. But in the moments of doing what God tells you to do, there will be some moments of not being comfortable. He may send you places that will cost you money. It may take you around the world. It'll awaken you from your sleep. It'll make you go and see your neighbor. It'll cause you to do all kinds of things that normally you would not do. But obedience, because the Bible is about two things, faith, believing, and obey. I remember listening to a great preacher years ago. His name is Dr. Yonggi Cho, and he said, and he practiced the hour of prayer with all of his leaders, and he said, there's just two things I do, pray and obey, pray and obey, pray and obey, pray and obey, pray and obey. Say with me, pray and obey, just pray and obey. What would have it been like if Ananias, sitting there in his room, and the Holy Spirit said, go down to a street called Straight. There's a guy by the name of Saul. Saul? Really? Saul? Saul, the guy that's persecuting, the guy that's taking the boys and throwing them into jail, the guy that's killing the Christians, the guy. Go down and talk to this guy, Saul. I've got a word, and give him a prophetic word. And he goes down there, gets him saved, baptized, and filled with the Holy Ghost. Somebody shout hallelujah. Thank God for Ananias, because we got the Apostle Paul. So look at your neighbor and say, quit arguing with God and just do what he says. What's the next word? Let's go to the fourth word. Prayer. Say prayer. Repentance. Obedience. Winning people to Christ. Because that, you know, that's what this church is all about. Somebody shout amen. It's about telling people about Jesus. It's about going down. Jesus must go through Samaria. He had a must day. And he goes down there and wins a woman who became historically one of the leading apostles in the New Testament church. The history of her, John 4, she became one of the leading apostles in the Church of Jesus Christ, ended up in Rome and actually gave her life for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Jesus must go down to Samaria, sits by the woman, wins her to Christ, him to himself. She wins her city and she becomes an apostolic leader. Well, somebody shout hallelujah. Because you never know, the person you win to Christ might become the next Billy Graham. And then last of all, Holy Spirit. Somebody said Holy Spirit. Because we just have to, any revival that God brings is always a Holy Spirit revival. And you say, Jesus. You see, when you receive Christ, the Holy Spirit comes in and your body becomes the temple of the Holy Spirit. He is in you. And then when you're driving down the road in the car, he's there in the seat with you. He says, I'll be with you. I'll be your comforter, one alongside to help, the paraclete. I'll teach you and lead you and guide you and direct you and lead you all into all truth. John 14 through 16. And then he empowers you. Acts chapter 2. The Holy Spirit that was in them came upon them with tongues of fire and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And he was empowering them to be who they were called to be and what they were called to do. In, say in. With and upon. But then there's one more word, through. The Holy Spirit moves through you. And when these components or elements are there, say with me, prayer, repentance, obedience, winning people to Christ, and the Holy Spirit, there's a revival that is set loose in a local church. And I'm declaring, prophetically declaring, I've traveled all over the world, make international trips. I'll be in Asia, I'll be in Africa, I'll be in Mexico. I do five or six major. I just got back 2 months ago from Siberia. I'm declaring this morning that this church will become a leadership church in the city of Lethbridge, bringing revival. Somebody shout hallelujah. I'm declaring your pastor will be a revivalist and a leader in this city. And this church that began at the tail end of revival, that it was right, and this church was born just kind of right at the tail end of the Jesus people, charismatic revival, was right there. And out of that revival came the mega churches, and many, many even churches in this city were actually birthed at that particular point. I could go through some of the history of this city. And they came in. This church was first, by the way. It was the first church that came in the charismatic renewal. This is a true fact. And then other churches, I could name them, were birthed after this church. So why shouldn't you be a leadership church? If, say it with me, if, then. And I'm calling you as a congregation to unite with your pastor the next 4, 5, 6 weeks as he preaches on revival. Bring your friends. Let them pray for an awakening and a rising that will take place in this city, a growth. Pastor Doug, this place is almost full. You're going to get some more chairs, and when you get a few more chairs, you're going to have to go to second services And God's going to move. Somebody shout hallelujah. And your church is going to become a leadership church in the city of Lethbridge. And a lot of people that are sitting out there, I'm not talking about taking people from other churches. I'm talking about people that are dead and dry and dormant and disconnected back into the house of God. And a revival taking place with hundreds and thousands and even many, many hundreds of people coming to Jesus Christ for the first time. So, let's bring this message to a conclusion. How many of you are in on this revival? Stand up. Well, I hope you're all standing. Yeah. Put your foot down on the devil. Tell the devil, Satan, you have no room in this city. We're going to drive you out. We're going to see a revival. Now, how many are here this morning? You might have even stood up and said, I'm in for the revival. But I've never really, really committed my life. Really. I'm talking about I've gone to church, done some things, prayed some prayers. But I've never really, 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 really committed my life to follow Jesus. I've been kind of dormant, halfway, maybe in a little bit, but not really committed. And you're here this morning. And you say, this morning is my day to rededicate or recommit or start over for the first time. I'm going to invite you to just put up your hand. I'm not going to call you forward, but I'm going to invite you to recommit your life or start fresh, brand new, when I count three. And today will be a marking day. It is the 9th. September the 9th, 2018, and you can mark it on your calendar. That day, I recommitted, I rededicated, or I started for the first time. When I count three, just put your hand up. One, two, three. Yes, thank you. Father, now everybody put your hand up and say, Lord, thank you for today. Give to me a brand new start in my life. I invite you, come in and be the Lord and the master of my life. Jesus, take full control. I give you lordship and leadership of my life. Forgive me of my past. Take away my sins and give me a new beginning with you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.